Hello, ladies, from the Cape Byron hike or walk. I'm currently in the forest. I just started on my walk to the lighthouse in Byron Bay, Australia. It's called the Cape Byron area. And people are going to be passing by. And so I might be either lowering my voice or just making sure that I don't disturb anyone. But anyways, so this is new. I've never recorded a podcast episode like this, but I thought, why not? You know, I've recorded it in my car, I've recorded it on walks, and so why not combine business and pleasure? That's what we all want, right? So I wanted to record this episode, again, based on my tea ceremony realization this morning. I'm gonna start doing them like twice a week, which might mean that I'll just produce more podcast episodes. But the tea ceremony in itself, it's not the tea ceremony, you know what I mean? Like, it could be anything. And I'm thinking about these episodes, like, as I'm sharing my journey with you, I'll also try and give, I guess, maybe some reflections about how could you maybe implement this in your business or think about it in your business, because, you know, I'm creating this for you. I mean, to express myself, but mostly for you. So let's start with the tea ceremony, right? Every time I started going to this Japanese tea ceremony locally a few months ago, and I've done it pretty regularly for a few months, and every time I go, so I go once a week, and it's an hour. And it's like this beautiful space where they literally created it. So imagine a little like Japanese garden. There's a little waterfall. And you come and it's like super quiet. So it's obviously a place for reflection. You can hear me like, it's not a steep hike, but you know, it's a walk in the forest. So you might hear some Australian birds. I'm giving you that, like, the native Australian experience. Okay, coming back to the tea ceremony, it's super quiet, and then you enter, and for an hour it's quiet, and it's like this hot, kind of like a hut. It's very dark, and there's a table, and everybody sits around the table on their like meditation pose or whatever pose you want to sit on, little cushions. And then there's a person who leads the tea ceremony. Everything's done in silence. And she basically like pours tea. Maybe there's like five or six rounds of tea. And then you keep your eyes closed and then you process. Whatever, you just sit in silence, right? Drinking tea. And almost every single time, I'd probably say 90% of the time, I've had some sort of an epiphany. I've cried. I've had visions. Like, it's truly amazing. I mean, obviously, the fact that it's a ritual, but it's also a ceremony, the fact that you're with people, like it's dark, it's solitude, blah, 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 plays a role in that. But it could also be anything, I think, that requires, that has all of those elements, you know what I mean? So if you're listening to this, you're like, oh, I need to go to tea ceremony. If you have one around you, I would highly recommend it. But if you don't, it could be any spiritual practice, well, like, say, a meditation class. Or it could be also a movement class, but essentially it's at the time. So I think why I'm having these realizations and epiphanies, I realized, I even talked to String about this. I said, it's not the fact that I'm like drinking tea. I mean, of course, tea has some sort of whatever. It's not like I'm drinking ayahuasca. You know what I mean? But it's the fact that for a full hour, I just sit with myself. Obviously drinking tea, and obviously there's like music involved, you know what I mean? I don't think I would have had this same level of realization if I were even to do my own meditation practice for an hour by myself, although maybe. But I think the convergence of elements of music, tea, a ritual, being all together with other people, because we feel other people's energies too, it's what creates this environment, right? It's the same thing, for example, I have my own embodiment practice that I do every day, right? And recently I started to do it a lot longer than usual. Usually it's like 15 minutes. But now that I'm going through a, oh my God, how should I describe it? I should tell you about it. Uh-oh, steep steps coming. So now that I'm going through some like serious wobbles in business and my journey, I started to do it longer. But it's the same thing, right? If you do it on your own, it's one thing, and you can obviously, I've had some major epiphanies in my own practice. It's like brushing your teeth, it's like showering. It basically helps you get rid of what's not serving you. Your body gets to release a lot of things like that. But then when I go to, let's say, an embodiment retreat or an embodiment event, things there are organized, the space is an environment and it's an immersion. That obviously, if you're in an immersion, there's no distractions, things like that. You're with other people doing embodiment. So it's kind of the same, right? Oh my God, these steps are steep. You're listening there being like, what the fuck, Anurova? Can you just sit down and talk? But I don't know, there's this thing in me, like I can't. I mean, I could sit in the car and talk. Fuck. I should just probably do that. Sorry. All right. All right, Anna, sit down. Gather yourself. No need to breathe into somebody's ears. Okay, I'll just record this and continue my walk. So, okay, in today's tea ritual, what I've realized, and it was actually a really important day for me, because I'm finishing up with one of my mentors in a mastermind that I've been part of. And what I thought about as I was thinking about this episode, I was like, fuck, the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we spent on fucking masterminds and coaches and tools and team and domains and everything, it's like insane. But obviously, like, it's been a journey and I've learned so much. And so today would have been like the last call, like a group mastermind call that I could come in and participate and ask for advice. And after my tea set, and I was kind of thinking yesterday, last night, I'm like, do I come? Do I not come? To ask the question, because I have like a burning question of, I'm thinking about what to do next with my launch of Claimed X, which I'll tell you about. That's what this episode is about, actually. And then there was something in my body, like it just didn't feel right. I mean, that's why I decided to finish, because it didn't feel right. Like the last few, I mean, you know, this mastermind has been, all the masterminds that I've been a part of actually have been quite good and intense and amazing. And at that time I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. And at that time it was needed, you know. But at this point, the last few calls that I had, it just didn't feel right. I don't know how to explain it. I don't want to talk too much about it, because obviously, like, I'm aware there's some people who know who I'm talking about, blah blah. I don't want to go there. Anyway, the point is, it didn't feel good. And after this tea ceremony today, the realization that I had was, like, first of all, Anna, you don't need to, oh my God, you should see this tree. It's quite amazing. That's what happens when you sit down and you just look and be in silence. Well, I'm not in silence, but you know what I mean? I'm by myself in the fucking forest with eucalyptus trees. Mostly, maybe there's going to be a koala running around. Anyways, the realization that I had was that I just don't need anyone else to tell me what to do. I've been so used to and conditioned to constantly looking for answers outside of myself. And I know the answers are all inside of me. I mean, you know, I know it theoretically in my head. But, you know, the difference between knowing something in your head and knowing something in your body and actually practicing it is, like, completely different. There's so many things that we know. Can you hear the birds? There's so many things that we know in our head, but we do not embody them, or we do not practice them. This is one of the things, right? Since my business journey, especially when it came to like business models and making money, I always looked up to somebody else to tell me what to do. And in my case, it was men. It was all men, mostly men, I should say. And whenever I had an issue or a problem, like right now in my business where I've launched my claimed X offer for my mastermind to my client list from claimed, which was about 550 women. And when I say launched, what we did together with String, we messaged and emailed every single one of those people on our list. So I'm not talking about like send an email to the list. I'm talking about personally, manually. I mean, we created some automations around then. String was amazing. He like got it done in like fucking 3 days. I have an incredible husband with an incredible mind and an operator's mind and a mechanic mind. So hashtag blessed and grateful. And then, so I've messaged and emailed each one of them, 550 women, right? And then there were like follow-up tasks there. Oh my God. And I also wrote like a six-part, I recorded a video. So that video is basically about my journey in business and how I got to $1 million and how the last 4 years have been so hard and I've been misaligned and I burnt out and I don't want to do that anymore. And what is the new way? And, you know, being a woman in business is so different where men don't understand, blah, blah. That video like brought me 2 clients into this mastermind and a third one who's like apparently soon be joining, but we'll see. So it was pretty much a proven concept. So I thought. So there was a video. I put it on a page with a button to apply and I opened my calendar for 2 weeks. I messaged all of them one by one and I sent a 6-email series sequence. And guess what the result was? So before I tell you what the result was, I just want to say it feels so vulnerable to share this. I mean, remember how I recorded an episode and I've released it where I talked about how to deal with the shit that comes in business. And my main realization there and my advice was to not share from like that place where you feel shit and you feel like you're dying, which is, well, okay, exaggeration, but still. So I'm like a few days past that. It still hurts and it's still... So I'm a few days past that, and this is the place where I'm sharing from. I'm sharing from a place of a wound, not of a scar. And it still feels really vulnerable to share like a failure. You know what I mean? And I was kind of like struggling with this, to be honest, because I'm like, I don't want to share this. Like, who wants to share their failures? Who wants to share their failures from the point where they have not figured it out yet? Because, I mean, we all know all those people who have shared, who are sharing from a place of winning, looking back at their journey. That's kind of the formula that we see everywhere today, right? Like all of the coaches, all of the gurus, whatever. It's like, I'm a success. I've done it. But my path wasn't easy. And then they share their stories. Okay, great. But what I'm doing here, I'm literally documenting. And it feels really vulnerable. Because we don't fucking know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, this could be a total success, but it could be all the way total failure. And it feels really raw and vulnerable to share it. But I sit with it. And I'm like, fuck, I don't want to talk about this. I want this to pass. And I want to have a win. And I want to have a success. And then I want to share it. But then I realized, like, there is so much value in this moment in time. And I actually thought about when I lived in Malaysia. I worked for a company called Mind Valley when I was a baby. I lived in Malaysia and I started listening to this podcast. Oh my God, how was it called? I can't remember it. But it was basically this podcast, it was something like an audio documentary where they followed this entrepreneur's journey from ideation to like, you know, meetings with venture capitalists, meetings with people who with investors, blah, blah. And it was like documenting all the failures and how they feel in that moment. And I love that podcast so much. And I like sat on the edge of it because you don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? And it's also not coming from that place of like, I made it and here's what happened and it sucked all the way, but like, it's all good. So, and I also know that, you know, as I was going through my journey in business when things were hard, I did not hear, like, if I heard someone like that who is successful or has been in the past or whatever, you know, and who talk real stuff about how hard, well, about how hard it is, but also about the challenges and what you're going through and all of that. So anyways, I don't know if this is helpful. Please let me know, because, you know, I'm sitting here in a fucking forest. Honestly, I like talking to you about this. So, yeah. Back to the main point. Oh, yeah. So what happened is I sent all of these emails personally, right? I sent a 6-email series and, like, I got one woman who booked a call and she was totally not a good fit. She's like a teacher, an amazing woman, but obviously that's not my client, ideal client. The second woman booked it, but then she canceled it because she realized, she said, yeah, I'm not ready now. This is not for me. And actually, I've got so many amazing replies from so many women who said that this is, you know, this is great and it sounds amazing. This is what's needed, but it's either not for me or it's not the right time or I don't have capacity for it right now. And it was really interesting to observe it. And by the way, out of 550 women, I also got a message like, it was hilarious. In the same day, one woman messaged me back after I sent her that invitation, said, shut up, Anna, you're so annoying. I was like, what the fuck? And then the other one sent me a message. I think I talked about this before on the podcast. Another one sent me a message that like, hey, Anna, so good to hear from you. Did I tell you that my committed masculine man and I just had a baby? And I was like, oh my God. Anyways, so these are the results, right? And it, for me, it's just phase one. I mean, it's actually phase two, because phase one, I've enrolled a couple of clients. One of them pulled out. One of them said, not now. And right now there's only one woman. And so it was like crickets, right? And I just sat there and I was like, fuck. So I woke up one day, this was like a few days ago, literally with like a pit in my stomach, a knot in my stomach. Like, I literally woke up, first thought in the morning I woke up, I'm like, what if this doesn't work? And I can't describe it. I realized as I was journaling after that and doing my embodiment practice, I realized that it felt like I'm dying. Like, if this doesn't work out, I'm dead. And in that moment, I realized how ridiculous this is, this thought, this story in my brain. And I realized that it's basically survival. Like, I'm operating on survival. And I'm like, fuck, this is not right. You know what I mean? Because obviously, like, but this is like the first reaction, right? When you're like doing something, especially when you've done so much work at letting something go and creating something new. Like, if you've ever created a new offer, you put your heart into it. You're like, this is it. I know it. It's right. Especially if like you've had evidence that this is working, like me, you know, enrolling some clients despite the wobbles. And that initial kind of invitation to so many women who are my fucking clients they have been my clients in dating and relationships. Okay, granted, I gotta tell you, most of these women do not own businesses. Most of them. And those who do, majority of them, do not own businesses at a level where they would even be able to invest in such a mastermind or be at that level in terms of their revenues and profits, blah, blah, blah. I know because I did a survey and I know my clients in the, you know, claim dating and relationships program, which is mostly women who, you know, have jobs. They've all been professional women. I don't know why, actually. I mean, I think historically, because we've got a lot of like nurses and lawyers and doctors. This is who we, this is what in the beginning when we launched advertising on Facebook, that audience seemed to resonate with the message, you know, with my message of like, you are a successful woman. You want to attract a committed masculine man. Something's not working. You're too much in your head. You're too masculine in your energy, blah, blah, blah. And then we just started targeting that audience. And I think that's why we've just built that audience of clients, right? I think if it was, I'd be actually really curious if I had predominantly entrepreneurs in that relationship area. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing to think about, but we don't need to think about it. It is what it is, right? So that day was like shit. And I was like day three or two in my cycle. My period also started. And that day was so shit. I can't even, yeah. I honestly, I was like, this is not working. Like, what do I, like, what do I do? You know, what do I do next? How do I move forward? So it was really hard. But then, you know, time goes on and you sit with it and you feel. I do my embodiment practice. I feel. I go to my tea ceremony. And what I realized today is that, number one, I don't need anyone else to tell me what to do. The answer's all inside of me, but I truly felt it. And I also realized quite a few things, like this quote-unquote failure. And by the way, I've got like quite a few things that I still can do, which is, you know, launch this offer to my 20,000 subscriber list, obviously launch it on the podcast, blah, blah, blah. But this is all, you know, when we sit, remember how I shared that we need to first feel it? And then when we sit with it in the process, we can distance ourselves from the situation and actually assess it objectively and treat it like a game. I'm still in that process of like, how do I treat business as a game? And obviously for me, and I think I'm a quite an tight spot here, because I even talked to my sister about this, right? So ladies, you can learn from my mistakes. Well, I don't know if it was actually a mistake, but one of the things that I might have done, I don't know it yet, actually. I'm not convinced this was a total mistake. But like, if we look at it logically from a business perspective, I have closed down my claim program. I've stopped producing content and advertising. I've like, you know, closed that faucet where the money was pouring and it was working. Betting everything on this new thing that I want to do. And so the advice here is like, do not close that faucet. It's the same thing. Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this is good advice actually, because the you know, the theoretical advice is like, don't close the faucet that's working and bringing you cash so you can be financially secure in that and then focus on what you want to do next. So in my case, it would be like, hey, Anna, okay, launch your new offer. But like, do not stop enrolling into the claim program because it works. There's a mechanism, blah, blah, blah. It brings you money. You know what I mean? Like, figure out a way where that can still work and you can focus on this thing. Yeah. The same thing, like, you know, you have a job that's like soul sucking and you want to start a new business. Like, don't fucking quit your job and start a new business until you have a proof of concept and the business is bringing you money. It's the same, like, it's the same advice that makes so much sense. And this is something that I would highly recommend. However, I was talking about this to my sister. And I was like, fuck, I can't do this anymore. Like, honestly, if I have to get up one day more and talk about how to fucking get your eggs back. Okay, mosquitoes are biting me. So I'm going to start going down. Going back. And maybe this is just because of my burnout, and I might as well come back and do claim beginner relationships program, although I doubt it, you know. But I got to the point where I just could not, like, the business was dependent on my face, on my face, you know, rolling out Instagram reels, posting on Instagram, doing YouTube videos, doing the podcast, blah, blah, blah. Like, just keep fucking going. Could I have replaced myself with somebody else? Possibly. But however, I didn't want to hire anyone else to be the face, because it's like training. I could have hired a whole team. That was my plan, to run it. But I did not have the energy and the capacity to find them, to train them. And then you have to, like, you have to run the business. It's going to take like 1 to 2, 3 years maybe to find a replacement for you as like a general manager operating the business, whatever you can trust and blah, 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 you know. And there's one caveat here as well, is that my personal, and this has been confirmed by two sources, ladies, by my astrologist. And also I talked about this before. I have done this quiz, Wealth Dynamics, with Roger Hamilton. He's an Australian guy who basically talks about how everyone has their unique, like, money blueprint and the way you make money. And the easiest way for you to make money is different from somebody else. He like categorized into 8 categories. So I've done this test and I'm the star, like Oprah. And my astrologist has mentioned Oprah before, and how I... So this is my path, and my path is through my brand. This is so clear. So a mistake for me would be to take a strategy where I'm not the brand anymore and something's right behind the scenes. Like I have to be the brand. Anyways, long story short, to me, I could not, you know, there's a theory and the great advice from all these businessmen, but there are things that you're feeling in your body where you know this is done. And it's very hard actually to distinguish between, you know, people talk about burning their business to the ground. I mean, it's kind of like what I'm doing, but I didn't really burn it to the ground because I still have like 9 months of delivery of coaching. I'm going to run a final cohort of the client program. By the way, ladies, if you want to get one last chance to get into the client program, you still don't have a man. This is a program that worked. The program worked and delivered results. I can't tell you how many women it has helped change their lives, get into a man. Personally, it's my personal thing. And you know, I actually got some messages from previous clients who said, Anna, you're doing a mistake. This program is amazing. I'm like, have you asked me how I feel? You're telling me I'm doing a mistake. How do you know? You're thinking I'm doing a mistake based on what you see. The program is amazing. Of course the program is amazing. But unfortunately, the way how it all transpired and developed, it doesn't suit me. And it's not aligned, period. You know what I mean? Anyways, moving on. So do not close that faucet before the other faucet is open, you know. But I've done it. And I took a risk. And again, I could change my mind and could come back. Unlikely, but still. Anyways, so what was the point? Yes, back to fucking tea ceremony. We're taking 100 detours. That's what women do when we talk about business and life, and it's all because it's all intertwined. So don't tell me what to do. So instead of jumping on that call, which I could have, that made me feel like shit the previous times, I decided not to go. And instead, what I decided to do, I also had an epiphany during that tea ceremony, is that my niche, surprise, surprise, is business coaching. I don't know how it happens, but it does. I've got the feminine embodiment piece of it, which I'm an extremely good coach at. I've coached hundreds of women in a different area. Same, but different, right? So I've had experience in that. I have my personal experience of running a business, a million dollar business, right? But what I am, the third pillar that's kind of like a bit wobbly here, and this is all coming, by the way, from like my observation of why phase two of the launch didn't really work. And my observations and my sense is that number one, majority of those women are just not the target market. Number two, maybe, you know, like, you know, when you work with someone and they launch something and you're like, maybe not for me, whatever. Like, there's a time and a place for your coach or for your mentor. But also maybe the message didn't land really well or like something in there. Because if you're seeing a pattern of people telling you, this is great, but not for me right now, or I'm not ready, or not, don't have the capacity, like something's there, right? So you need to do a bit more research. But I realized that, you know, when I started the Claim program, which is my relationship program, it was kind of the same thing, right? Well, actually, right now, this is good news for me. I don't know. I'm hoping this is helpful when you look at your offers and whatever. But I realized that now I'm in such a better position, because when I was starting Claim, holy shit, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, like, I kind of followed my curiosity. I had a podcast. I started exploring, discovering, blah, blah, blah. I stumbled upon this concept of polarity. So I also had my own experience. This is like the number one thing that you should have in whatever niche or area you're interested in. You know, if you want to help women in business, you got to have a fucking business. You know, if you want to help women get a man, you should have a man. Or at least you should have a thriving dating life. If you're promising women that you're going to attract amazing men, like, you better attract amazing men. So that's like number one, your own experience. Then there should be like a mechanism of some sort of like, how are you delivering your work? Like, what is your thing? So mine was obviously my experience with men and my whole journey of like transformation with men and blah, 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 and then meeting String, marrying him, having a family. So I've put it all together in the blueprint. Then it's like, okay, what's the mechanism? Like, how are you helping these women to, like, what is your, well, how I've learned it, what is your signature coaching system or signature coaching, whatever. I'm curious about, I got to start thinking about other businesses as well. I'm still, you know, I'll probably niche down to working, coaching women in business in a specific business or niche or whatever. You know, how like I can already see that coaching women in business, like some women are coaching women in business that are like BIPOC, right? Or you know, online educators or whatever, whatever. So far, like the client that I have now in my mastermind, she's an optometrist, an eye doctor in Montana, that has a practice there, and she's a previous client of mine from the client program. So I don't know, you know, with experience, I think I'll decide. But you gotta, I think that, you know, I'll have to nail it down to some, to like a specific woman, not just like any entrepreneur, right? But the one who I want to work with and who I know I can help. So what is that modality? Like for me, the modality of how I help, how I serve, whatever, is the feminine embodiment coaching. The other pillar for me is what, and by the way, this feminine, so experience in that area, right? And then the modality. So for me, the modality is feminine embodiment, and the modality and like your unique perspective on the subject matter is what's going to differentiate me and you from everybody else. So just like in the, I know this because in the dating and relationships niche now it's becoming more and more, but well, I can't claim I was the first one, but to be honest with you, looking at the competition, there are, well, first of all, you know, the biggest dating and relationship coaches, so to say, or gurus or experts are men, especially when you look at like YouTube channels, blah, blah, Matthew Hussey, you know. No one talks about embodiment, obviously, in that area, like the biggest names. They're all in the head giving you formulas. I mean, there's obviously personal development, personal growth work, but not in that way. So that's what differentiated me. And I know so many clients who've done other programs and everything, they came to claimed for that specific aspect, which is what I know to be true when it comes to business as well. It's pretty much the same, right? Like when it comes to business, we all learn that's what I've done, right? Like I followed all these men who gave me all the formulas and blah, 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 blah. You should do this. Let's be in the head. But the truth of it is in your body, because it's all like you want what you like. Why the hell do you want a business? You want to create impact. You want to create a life that you want. You want a specific lifestyle. You want to achieve your goals. All of that is because how you want to feel when you live that life, when you make that impact. Same thing with a man. Same thing with anything, right? So it's all in your body. Like I've been coaching a client yesterday, and she was telling me about like a situation. Doesn't matter, but it was a really challenging situation with the employee, right? And I don't have the answers for her. I don't know. I can't tell her what to do. But a great coach will actually guide you, and a feminine embodiment coach will guide you into your body so that you can sit with the discomfort this specific situation or pattern is creating for you in your body. Sit with it, move with it, breathe with it, see where it is, and then through reframes and through release, get you to a place of how do you want to feel instead, and where is it, and what are the limiting beliefs here? Can we embody something new? How do we move forward? So it's deep connection with yourself. And so with this woman at the end of it, we realized with like this specific situation was all about trust. It was actually quite interesting. She realized, so it was something with an employee, that she didn't trust that employee. And then as we dropped deeper and deeper, she realized that she didn't trust. Like there were instances where she didn't trust her family and friends, and ultimately she didn't trust herself, you know, and that was at the bottom of that. So we moved through that, we fell through that, and then we also reframed that, and we sat with how does trust feel in your body, in your specific body, not in mine, in yours. This is what coaching is about, right? Like asking you questions. Embodiment coaching is all about asking you questions about how does it feel in your body. And then enlarging that, remembering that, and giving you practices so you can practice that, so that next time when she comes to work, she embodies that trust in her body. There's safety in that trust in the body, so that, you know, whenever that same employee or a different employee brings something up, she doesn't operate from a place of distrust, but she operates from a place of trust. So this is just an example, right? Fuck, where was I? Okay, back to the thing. So you have to have experience, obviously. You have to have a modality. So my experience, feminine body coaching, your unique view. Oh my God, I'm coming up with a thing. I need to put this into something. If you have ideas what to put it in, let me know. Should it be like a lead magnet? I realize that this is what happens. Like, I think, like, I need to speak it so that things are, you know, I don't know what's the word, birthed and organized and whatever. So the third thing, so experience, modality. Third thing is your unique perspective. So, like, what is the thing that's, like, okay, business coaching or whatever your niche is. Like, let's say you're even an eye doctor, right? So, like, I mean, if you're an eye doctor and you're the only eye doctor practice in, like, your area, everybody's going to come to you. You don't care, pretty much. But if you're, which is, I think, most businesses, like, there's competition. So what is, like, your unique thing? What is your unique perspective on the thing, on your subject matter? So for me, it's not just, like, you know, I'm coaching women in business. But it's women do business inherently. Women do business differently, because being a woman in business, it's not the same as being a man in business. You know what I mean? So it combines all of these things about feminine masculine polarity, about how a woman's body functions differently, your cycles, your pleasure, the obstacles that come with it. Like, you know, you're giving birth, you can't be in the meeting. Like, it's all about being a woman in business, which is very different from being a man in business, blah, 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 right? So that's what I'm passionate and curious about, and that's what I add. That's why, you know, like, even for me, I've been in all of these business spaces with men for many years, and at the end of it, like, it just feels empty, dry, and feels like shit. As soon as I'm in a space, in a community of women talking about business, it's a completely different experience. There's so much more in the right space, by the way, not in a masculine space. I'm talking about in a feminine space, but also in an embodied feminine space, which is very different, right? Like, you could be held by a woman who's a leader of a community or a mastermind, but she could be operating in a very masculine way. It's basically doing the same things that men are doing, which is giving you formulas, being in the head, blah, blah, blah. Let's do, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. You know, I'm still listening to, like, podcasts from these women. You know, like, when it comes to, I started listening to, like, Entrepreneur EOS, Entrepreneur, oh my God, Operating System, Entrepreneur Operating, right? So, like, there's so much value there. However, at some point, you get to that place where, like, you realize you're too much in your head. And as a woman, it doesn't work for you. There's something missing. You're burning out. You're, it feels like you're going to explode, because your body is building all of that frozen tension. And business inherently, I don't want to say it's masculine. I need to sit with it a bit more. But it has a lot of masculine energy, because it requires a lot of doing. Like, if you think that business is feminine and you can do business in feminine ways, there's no such thing. Like, what is feminine business? I don't fucking know. Like, it doesn't exist. Everything. Sorry, I'm on the road now. Everything has feminine and masculine. It requires feminine and masculine, right? Like, even dating or even relationships, right? Like, we depth first, structure second. The feminine comes first. The feminine energy, the depth of it, the feeling of it comes first. But then, even when you felt into your body, even if you felt like a goddess, even if you felt like that seductress or whatever, right? It's Ganesha to your body comes first. But the second thing you gotta do, you still gotta get out of your house and go on a fucking date. You know what I mean? Get on dating apps, go on a date. Same thing with business, yeah? So you feel into your body what's not working, what's, like, the depth of it is what matters first. And the second thing is the doing. You operate, you make decisions, and you do from that depth place. I hope this is making sense. And what I see in the world, well, what I saw in the world of dating and relationships is obviously it's reversed. Well, it's not actually reversed. It's like that first part doesn't even exist, because women don't know how to fucking feel, you know, don't know how to be in their bodies. They go on a date and they're like in their head, where is this going? They're leading, blah, blah. But in business, it's the same thing, because business has so much of that masculine energy that requires you to be strategic. It's all about numbers. It's all about doing, 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 right? And so that's what we do, because for thousands of years, that's how men have done it. And here we come into business, which is amazing. Like, there's so many amazing women. Like, we have all the opportunities, right? And we do, and we think, and we strategize. But the reality is that we come to a place, if we are not in our bodies, and if we're not taking care of our own feminine bodies, if you are a woman with a feminine essence, which is most women, it's not going to feel the way you want it to feel. See, I'm developing my body of work as we speak. So, back to the point. Okay, I promise you, I'm finishing up. I always do these little detours. Yeah, so don't expect 8-minute episodes from me, because there's a lot to talk about and unpack. I realized that, so I have the experience, I have the feminine embodiment, I have the unique perspective, which like, as a woman, you do business differently, and your babies are okay, and your pregnancy are okay, and your cycles, and your embodiment, like, blah, 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 blah. Have you had those days where it's like, okay, I actually, you know, I was supposed to go to the office today, and I ended up not being in the office at all, because I was running errands, because I went for a walk, I booked a pedicure, I went to a tea ceremony. I'm like, fuck, I can't sit at the screen today. Anyways, so the fourth thing, which I am lacking, so the four ingredients, oh my God, I need to write an Instagram post right now. The four ingredients, the fourth ingredient is missing for me, which is knowledge. I don't want to call it knowledge in business, because I have it through my experience. Like, I know a lot about business. But, and I've, you know, I've read the books, but how shall I say it? It almost feels like I need to educate myself more on business systems, on like the theoretical knowledge around, like, so I embody it for, like, I understand, you know, when a woman comes in and says, I have a team of 10 and they're all, I don't know, there's drama in the team or whatever. I don't know yet. This is what came to me, that I need to educate myself on this subject in the same way that I was educating myself on relationships and dating, because, you know, I didn't come out of the womb space. I didn't come out of the womb knowing everything about relationships. Like, I interviewed men for like 2 years, then I interviewed women, then I read, then I got into polarity, then I got into evolutionary psychology. Like, I've spent thousands of hours doing this. Oh my God. This reminds me of an email I got yesterday from a woman who asked me, how are you qualified to coach and teach this? Like, and based on everything I told you now, I'm like, do you fucking realize that I spent years of my life researching this subject? Well, obviously I have a coaching certification, but... And then I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars building this, and you're asking me how am I qualified? Anyways, moving on. So right now, because I'm stepping into something new, that it's something I don't know much about, but I need to learn more from my clients, because this is a new niche for me. This is a new type of client, and this is a new area. I need to educate myself. How? So on this podcast, you're going to hear a lot more interviews from me. So how I learn, and by the way, my aviator brain, which is my astrologist called it, and I know that you give me a year or two, I'm going to know everything. Well, not everything, but to be honest with you, in the, you know, in the relationships and dating niche, when I was researching, reading old books, like, I got to the point where I was so bored. Like, literally, it's not like I read all the books. I just heard, like, I got to the point where I read everything, and like, it all started to sound the same. Every dating and relationship podcast, like, you know, attachment styles, like all of that stuff. I'm like, you know, and every other fucking dating coach, it speaks about the same shit, you know? So, like, I was done with that. And maybe there's something to hear. Maybe I'm someone who, like, works in this, you know, sprints of 4 to 7 years or whatever, where it's like, this subject I've explored and it's done. But I can tell you that somehow, and I know it's different for every person, right? I mean, there's people who do relation. I mean, look at John Gray. Oh my God. This man has written like 17 books on relationships. And then, like, he's in his 70s or something. He's still talking about fucking relationships. I got an email from his assistant the other day, like, interview John. I'm like, no. So, you know, some people really, for some people, one subject or niche or whatever, it's like their thing for life. It appears that relationships and dating wasn't my thing for life. But somehow business, I even started crying today in that tea ceremony because I was like, oh my fucking God, now I need to learn about business. And it feels so vast. I don't think I felt like this about relationships, by the way. I don't know. For some reason, I'm like, yep, this all makes sense. For some reason, relationships for me was like so easy. I mean, still, it's really easy. Like, once you understand polarity, once you understand how to work with your limiting beliefs and blah, 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 and do it in an avoided way. Like, I have a whole blueprint in the claim program. It's easy. Like, I know how to do that. I know how to take someone from that place to place B. Like, if you want that, go sign up for a discovery call. It's easy, right? But business, oh my God. So for me, it's so vast. And it's like the question, like I literally, well, I'm not going to say day and night I think about this, but every day I think about this. How do I do it as a woman? Well, I started thinking about this for the last few months. So I'm on a quest to figure it out. And I know I can because I've done this in the past. But business, like for me personally, and I know that, you know, there's some people who are like, oh yeah, business is easy. I'm like, what the fuck? Are you a woman? Have you made more than $1 million in your business consistently while feeling like you want to feel? Like, let's talk. And these are the women who I want to bring on my podcast. So, with all of that said, I'm going on a journey of learning and exploring. There's one little piece that I want to talk about, which is the last piece, because I even talk about, I told this to String, and he sent me a message back, which I love my husband so much. He's amazing. Which is the financial piece, right? Which we talked about. Don't close the faucet that's bringing you cash before you open another faucet. Yeah? I mean, sorry. Don't close the faucet before the other faucet is bringing you cash, which I haven't done. And don't do it my way. Every way is different. But what's important here is, of course, what's clear is the path forward. Like, follow it, Anna. Follow your curiosity, right? Follow it in writing, interview people, read, like, just get into it. And that's what I'm doing, yeah? But the question is, like, how the fuck are you going to make money? Well, in my case right now, and I don't know at what point in your business you're listening to this, and hopefully this is helpful, please let me know. Send me a message on Instagram. Send this to a girlfriend who needs to hear it or whatever. It's like, in my case, I already have a business model, right? I have a mastermind. So I know who I want to coach. I know who I want to serve. And actually, I should tell you about, so I have one last point where we're going to talk about money. Yeah. But before that, I really want to tell you, actually, this is super important. I'm going to go into a corner, look at the ocean. I want to tell you about why I want to serve that woman. And I think you should ask yourself that too, if you really want to have a business that doesn't drain you or whatever. For me, serving that woman entrepreneur who's like, I mean, really, we shouldn't talk about numbers, but who has a successful business. She already has a small team or a big team, whatever. Like, things are working, yeah? There's a desire in me to work with women, first of all, like me. Yeah, I just sense that women like me who also own a business, I don't know, there's so much in common with, like, I resonate, we're on the same level. Whenever I speak to women entrepreneurs, there's something that clicks for me. I'm curious, I'm interested, there's like a pool there, right? But also I'm thinking about entrepreneurship and being a woman. And how much of an impact, like how much can you, like I've seen it in my business, in my experience, right? How much of an impact can you create in your own life? Like, this business claimed has completely changed my life, honestly. And I'm so grateful, obviously, to all the mentors and the coaches, despite the fact that they were all men and I followed a formula, blah, blah, blah. Like, we made a lot of money, not a lot of profit, but still. It allowed us, you know, String. It allowed me to retire my husband. What a bunch of bullshit. String came and, you know, became a partner in the business and we did this together. We also moved by the beach. We live like 5 minutes walking distance to the beach. We lived in this amazing house. Our kids don't need anything. Like, you know, we've traveled to America and back, and I've created events in Mexico and villas. I flew business class. Like, it elevated us to the completely a new next level. And that, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, you know what I'm talking about. You while having a business, you can create what you want to create. And for me, I've done this in all areas of my life, and now I'm doing this with business. So there is that impact for you personally, the things that can shift and change, and it's a spiritual journey and whatever. And as a person, you grow so much while you do business. But it's also, there's something about the woman who, like, I really feel for the woman who is struggling. She has a great business, but she doesn't feel the way she wants to feel in that business. And for some reason, I feel so called to serve her and to help her feel and get connected to her femininity and her body and figure out a different way where she can still have what she wants and do this business, but just help her feel the way she wants to feel and be in a community of women who are the same. Because for me, I didn't have that this whole time, and I didn't find it, and I want to create it. Okay, that's the end of my spiel. Next. Okay, let's talk about money. So while you're doing this exploration, Anna, and like this creating a body of work, how the fuck are you making money? So there's two ways to go about this here, right? I mean, I'm thinking of different scenarios, and I'm obviously talking about a period of transition. So, you know, there's people like, I'm not going to talk about a person who has a job and starting a business, because that's not who I want to work with. That's not me, blah, blah, blah. But for me personally, there were two scenarios, right? And maybe there's other scenarios, I don't know. You let me know if you think there's other scenarios. But the two scenarios are, number one, it's either you keep that faucet open. So for me, it would be keep claim going, no matter what, until this works. I just didn't have the capacity for it, so I didn't do that. Closed the faucet, started to open another. It's like, wobbles, the water isn't running. What the fuck do I do now? Because obviously, like, you've got to make money. This is a business. And so the other option is I send this message to String. He just emailed, you know, he sent me a message back, and he said, so String's actually, we were running a business together, but he's always been the operator. He's always been behind the scenes. He's the mechanic. And he told me today that, you know, he's never been a man, by the way. And this is, I think, going to be interesting for women with, you know, want a masculine man, blah, blah, blah. Like, a man has to be on his mission. But it doesn't have to be a mission to change the world. String couldn't care less about changing the world. Like, I'm just telling you honestly, I think that my blessing in disguise with String and with being a coach with a man like that, is that my husband is pretty much the man that you're going to meet at a bar or a dating app, whatever. Most men don't sit there and want to change the world. Most men are not entrepreneurs. So, or visionaries or whatever. If you get a man like that, like, amazing. But most men are not like that. String's mission, and this is what he told me. He said, what I want to protect and provide. Hello, masculine energy. And I want to create a lifestyle and a living for you and for the kids and for me. This would make me feel amazing. So he's actually considering now taking a contractor sales job that would, you know, bring us that, and then investment property that would bring enough cash to do investment property, blah, blah, you know. And so why I'm telling you this is because while I'm doing my research, following my curiosity, going on a walk, you know, sitting doing pedicures, thinking about business, listening to podcasts, writing, whatever, right, going to tea ceremonies to figure myself out, my man is doing his provider work. So he just wants to make money. So yeah, there's something interesting there. And so that relieves, so there has to be financial stability at some point. Being an entrepreneur and being so unstable, especially I think for the feminine system, is so hard. I've seen so many models where, you know, the man is, I'm not saying this should be everyone's case, right? Like everyone's situation is different. And String and I have done this for quite a number. Well, actually, in the beginning, before I started Claimed, for about 2 years, he actually had a stable job while I developed my coaching and blah, blah, blah. So we're kind of going full circle, although this is not going to be a job. This is going to be basically like, you know, full on, hard on sales, contractor, whatever, with a lot more freedom than a job, which is amazing. But still, so I can then relax while still having a business model and enrolling and constantly doing this, but there's no pressure for me to, like, I gotta make money to survive. So that's kind of where we're going. And that's, oh my god, 55 minutes, wow. So I'm hoping this was helpful. I'd really love to hear from you. This feels like an episode that has a lot of like truth bombs or whatever, but I'd really love to hear from you. Message me on Instagram how this landed. Send me a voice note. I've connected with a few new women who find this relevant. If you feel like somebody else needs to hear this, please send it to them. And if you've got a minute, I'd love if you could leave a review. If this was helpful in any way, find some sort of review button, 5 stars, hopefully. I'll be happy with 4, but 5 is better. And I'll see you next time. Okay, bye.